Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. After a long winter, we eagerly look for the grass to turn green, for green leaves and buds to sprout. When we plant seeds, we wait to see that green break through the soil. During the season after Pentecost, the color of the church year is also green, that color of life and vitality, as we discuss the life and growth of the church, the very kingdom of God. Yet just where is this kingdom? Look around. What do you see? A sanctuary and building that could probably use some repairs. People who are, by all means, average, whose bodies are worn or wearing. To the eye, we don't look like much. But then again, there is a lot more than meets the eye. We may not look like a kingdom, especially one that is worthy to be called God's own. Not you, not me. We don't look like a kingdom worthy of God, but that truly is the way things are. For we are God's kingdom. But as for now, that kingdom remains hidden from our eyes. It doesn't look like we think it ought to. If someone who didn't know any better was told that the kingdom of God was right here, right now, in this place, among this people, I'm sure they'd be in for quite a letdown. How unimpressive are we? We know that we live in God's kingdom of grace, but when we look around, what do we see? Well, for starters, we see empty seats. And to make matters worse, when we look at those seats that are occupied, what do we see? We see a bunch of sinners. Poor, miserable sinners. We see people who don't act worthy enough to be called God's own. We don't always come to the place that God has appointed for us to receive the gifts of his kingdom. And when we do, we have to admit over and over that we fail to do the will of our God and King. We don't honor him like we should. We don't always treat one another as sons and daughters of our King. We fail to love those who do not yet know him. Yes, we know that the kingdom of God is among us, but sometimes it's hard to believe. It just doesn't look like what we think the kingdom of God ought to look. But the kingdom of God didn't look that way to the followers of Jesus either. It didn't look the way they thought it ought to look as well. We aren't alone in this way of feeling. In fact, Jesus' first followers felt the same frustration, and even more so, because they had been waiting and waiting and waiting for the promised Messiah. At last, there were signs that he had come. The blind were made to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. And this man taught with an authority unlike any other. But somehow, the pieces just didn't quite fit. Rome still had Israel under its thumb. The corrupt house of Herod still cast a dark shadow over their land. And the one whom they were looking for to deliver them was in no hurry to take up a crown or raise an army. If Emmanuel had come at last, why wasn't he doing more to ransom captive Israel? To top it off, he associated with all the wrong people. He didn't associate with the powerful. He associated and ate with sinners. Tax collectors and women of ill repute were among his closest friends. And the finisher, when it came for him to make his stand, he willingly allowed himself to be executed on a cross outside of Jerusalem. It just didn't seem to fit. On the one hand, this was clearly no ordinary man. But on the other hand, this sure wasn't what the people thought the kingdom of God ought to look like. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knows our thoughts as well. He knows that our fallen, sinful minds just can't wrap themselves around the mystery of his kingdom. And so he tells this parable. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. One day that harvest will come. Christ will return in triumph and glory and rule and reign, and the rule of reign of God will come through him, and it will be made known to all people, to all the world, as the dead will raise from the graves, and every knee will bow and tongue confess that he is Lord and God. But for now, that harvest remains hidden in the growing plant. Jesus doesn't explain the mystery of how that plant grows. It's not the kind of mystery that can be explained. It is only believed. 3 days after the word of God was planted into the ground as a seed, he burst forth from the soil in life and immortality. And he planted that very word of God into the hearts and minds of his disciples, who in turn planted that word into others, and they still planted it in others. Where the word of God is, the kingdom of God reigns. This is a promise we have been given from God himself. We do not need to understand how. We do not need to be anxious and to worry, but we trust, as the one who scatters the seed, that the kingdom of God will grow not only within us, but will be spread to others as well. Just as the one who spreads the seed need not know how the plant grows, we are called to trust and believe. Trust that God will grow his kingdom through his word wherever that word is planted. For we know that we ourselves do not come to his kingdom, but the Spirit himself calls, gathers, and enlightens us, that we do not come to the kingdom through our own reason and senses, but the Spirit places us through the water and the word. And when the grain is ripe, the harvest will come. It might not come according to our timing, or it might not come how we believe it will, but the harvest will come. The grain will be gathered into the Lord's barn, and there will be a harvest festival like no other ever in history. In this parable, Jesus also gives us the comforting assurance that the responsibility of the kingdom's growth does not rest on our shoulders or in our hands. It is not up to us to figure out how to make the word produce its crop. It is not up to us to figure out how to improve upon God's word or how to add to increase its yield. That is why Paul so clearly in Scripture resolves to leave behind all eloquent speech and rhetoric and to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. That seed has been sown, and the growth will come. Not as a product of our efforts and ingenuity, but by the promise and Spirit of God. The Lord of the harvest is in control. There's no need for us to worry. It is not up to us to figure out how God's kingdom will come, for it is here now. When we look with the eyes of faith, we see past what the eyes alone see. We may not look like a kingdom, especially the kingdom of God, but we are. God's word is being proclaimed and planted within our hearts and minds. His gifts of salvation are being delivered to us. The forgiveness of sins is being declared. We poor sinners are being beckoned and welcomed to the Lord's table itself, as the King himself comes to serve and feed us. All of that is working in your own hearts, minds, and spirits as the kingdom of God grows within you, as you hear the word and bear fruit to speak God's word to those same and sow those same seeds in others, as his grace and mercy is extended to those who hear it and his kingdom expands. It is not the kingdom that we ever imagined, perhaps, but it is exactly the kingdom that we so desperately needed. And by the grace of God, it is this kingdom in which we live today and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.